Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. And with me on the show, I have Stan Deo. Now, Stan's been a guest on the A Minute to Midnight show quite a few times over the years. It's been a little while since the last one, but it's always great to have you, Stan. So I enjoy our discussions. Welcome back.
Thank you for the invitation, Tony. I hear you've moved since the last time we talked.
Yes, I have. I've just recently moved and still sort of setting everything up in the new house, new district, away from the coast where I was and further inland. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. I'm enjoying it so far anyway.
As you know, it'll take about a year to get used to everything around you, the shops and everything, and the house and all the things, how it works.
Totally, yeah. I'm a bit more further away, rural or whatever, and everything here too. So, and the pace of life is pretty slow, I notice, in some ways. Yeah, a lot of places, even on Saturdays, I notice shops and things are not open, half of them, which is like, okay, we're back to the 80s or 70s and 80s. But anyway, that's all good. So, yeah.
And yeah, they roll up the sidewalk at night. Oh, fine. Yeah, it's we're experiencing a kind of late cold. I thought we'd be colder than this before, but it got the forecast for tonight and the next 2 or 3 days is down under freezing. So we had to go out today and set up the reticulation, blow it all out, clean it so it doesn't freeze the lines and stuff. But yeah, we're getting over this election. To a degree, we've still got three elections we got to wait for. The last one, December the 6th, to see if the Republicans are going to either just be in a standoff or have a 1 or 2 seat majority in the Senate. They've definitely taken the House, which means that we can do a lot of things to stop some of the stuff that the Biden group and the people behind him have put into motion that are really unfavorable to taxes and various other things and spending money like it's growing on trees and inflating our economy. Anyway, we'll be able to put part of a hedge on that with the House. It'd be better if we had a majority in the Senate as well, because we could fully block any of these things that are bad news.
Yeah, well, it could all be by design, the division, I think. And, it's in the interest of the global elite to have the division, I think. And, control both sides, really. So,
of course they do. And, either way it goes, if people get upset about it on either party, you can expect civil disobedience. I think that's what Soros and his crowd wanted, so they can have martial law and they can come in and then just, get all of the Looney Tunes Christians that they call us, the deplorables and stuff, and arrest us or take our computers or whatever they want to. But they have to have that military presence. And so this is why, either way, I think that they were aiming toward making a situation so difficult, so divisive, that the country would be in chaos. And they've done that. I mean, some of the things the Democrats have proposed are so extraordinarily bad, outrageous, and the things they've said, that it's bound to irritate the right wing, the conservatives. And it is designed to create division. And that's what Soros likes. In a division of a country he wants to take over, he has people placed on either side of an issue so that no matter which side wins, his guys get promoted to run the thing.
Yeah.
So it's predictable. I agree with you.
Yeah. Soros is nowhere near the top of the pile either, though, I don't believe. He's another puppet, probably, with people above him. But, yeah, him and Bill Gates and a whole lot of the others, which I guess we won't go there, but definitely a global trend, though, this whole division. Yeah.
Can you imagine how brilliant the mind is that's planned all this and manipulating all these people?
Ultimately, Lucifer, I believe.
yeah, definitely. That's what I'm saying, yeah. And his man, whoever that's going to be, that will manage the global government. But, I mean, when you look at all the things on the planet, that we can talk about, like famine and overpopulation and monetary crisis, all that kind of stuff is all being engineered by a single source.
Yes.
And we think it's Satan too. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was looking at your show images page that you've got up there and some pretty interesting things that caught my attention. probably the looking at the global food crisis and then, you know, water, which obviously is important for all of us. Those things kind of caught my eye particularly. Maybe you could just give us a little bit of information on those.
Sure. You know, with the food crisis, it's we're seeing drought, extreme drought for second or third year in many countries. And, you know, I've been looking at East Africa, you know, Kenya, Tanzania, and those kind of places. And the drought is threatening in those areas alone millions of people. Now, having been over there before, and I raised an amount of money here to drill a water well for them in Tanzania on the border there to Kenya. And we had a water company come out and do sounding and say there's water down there. And we drilled all the way down there and past that point, and it was a dry well. So we blew, you know, 10 grand pretty quick. But that was like 2 years ago. And I'm getting emails from them down there now saying how bad the drought is and how their livestock are all dying and they can't give them water. You know, and they're about, between Kenya and Ethiopia and Tanzania, there's probably 50 million people that are affected by the drought right now. Djibouti, Uganda, all those. And the strange thing is there's in between all of those on the kind of the western side of Tanzania is Lake Victoria. It's a huge lake. And the problem is getting that water, cleaning it, and getting it to the people. It's not having to desalinate, but just, you know, filter out the bugs and stuff. They're little black lice and things like that you'll find in those lakes there. But, yeah, so that drought is so severely affecting their local food production in Africa that they're trying to get food in from anywhere. Now, the Russian invasion of Ukraine is holding up some of the grain shipments, you know, delaying them to get them to Africa. Because they depended on it, and other countries did too. But with those factors together, the famine is going to spread. In 2023, we're going to hear millions of people dying of famine. The cause is drought primarily, and the Russian holding back of the grain shipments in Ukraine. In fact, I didn't know how much of the Ukraine agriculture fed a lot of the world. You know, when I started digging into it, I was amazed that they're such a key part of that to Europe and to Africa. Anyway, in the Middle East. Now the food crisis here, you know, in the developed countries and where you are, you can put away food, you know, freeze-dried food and stuff like that. You can put away a little water unless you got a well or something like that. But with where these people are, they're just not going to have the food. The 2/3 of the European fertilizer production has been shut down. There are currency problems, you know, causing massive headaches for poor nations that need to import food. You know, exchanging the currency with the inflation going like it is, it's a nightmare trying to transfer funds from one country to another, you know, change the currency over. And so they're suffering for it. Bird flu, that's killing millions of chickens and turkeys all over the planet. And of course, you know, chicken and turkey are, you know, staple diets. You got a chicken in the pot, you're right, but that's causing them not to be able to get it. Also in Ukraine, I forgot to mention, they export fertilizer as well to the whole world, including us. All these things added together show that we're facing a global famine, and it's one of the crisis curves that I talked about in my first edition and every other edition of the Cosmic Conspiracy book from 1978, that we're going to have famine. We've had famine before, but we're going to have famine, and these other curves we're going to tell you about occurring all together so that it's absolutely, you're collapsing the planet. You're going to have inflation. You're going to have a collapse of the global economy. There's two things there. Then you're going to have overpopulation in certain areas, shortage of water, the weather being bad. The weather being bad, you can't really blame that on the elite or whatever, but I'm sure they've helped it with the spraying of their things in the sky. But, there's just so many crisis curves coming together, the threat of nuclear war over Ukraine and the spread of the United States, the threatening of Israel by Iran, wanting to invade them and wipe them off the map, and Iran's getting, you know, close to having its own nuclear weapons. You put these crisis curves together, say five of them, all occurring at once, coming to a head at once, what they're doing now. And the sixth one being the people of all the nations of the planet lose faith in their leadership. So they're looking for someone to replace their government, to bring them peace and safety. So that's six things that all come together, and we've got them all together right now. And I said, when that happens, the next thing you're going to look for is for Satan's minions, UFO, flying saucer, elder brothers in space, whatever they call themselves, coming in to offer a solution to the planet to give us peace and safety and energy, free energy and all that kind of stuff. And all we have to do is follow his appointed man that he selects, and he'll select them as though he's a leader of this UFO group, or, you know, flying saucers coming in, and that will trick people into the first one world dictatorship. So all these things are coming to head to allow that, and I don't think they're going to go away until we have this new world government formed, and people will want to do it.
The other thing is to topple that off is the energy crisis that they're deliberately creating, and then with this whole green agenda and the sustainable development / climate change, you know, that they are getting rid of or trying to get rid of livestock. So that'll impact people's food as well, you know. So every which way they've got, you know, these things against us. You know, with depopulation, obviously, as part of their agenda.
Have you seen where they're going to be feeding us crickets and worms in our protein diet now?
I mean, it's that's unbelievably stupid. And and you know, they just want to rub people's noses in it. That's the thing. Oh, you can guarantee the elite won't be eating crickets and worms, you know.
No.
And it's just insane. It's evil, purely evil.
The book of Revelation, they do tell about, you know, like about 2/3 to 4/5 of the planet's people will die over several things, like they say pestilence, but I'm sure like COVID and COVID variants and stuff. And this is going to spread. And I don't know whether it happens during the Antichrist rule or before. I think it's going to happen during. But that's how the elite remove a lot of the useless eaters, they call us, you know, disease, war, whatever, famine.
To be honest, and I won't go there again because of censorship, and I want to keep this away from the censors, but the what I call the pinprick serum that they've injected into masses of the population, I believe that's a big part of the depopulation as well agenda, you know.
You got to wonder if there's some catalyst that will set it off and everybody will start dying. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, already a lot of people are. I mean, the number one cause of death in some places now is sudden adult death syndrome. So something's changed, you know?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And you know, a kind of a new thing and is the attitude of the people of the nations. And I wrote about this on that show I just made you were talking about, that out of 198 nations, 110 of them are having significant anti-government riots and gatherings. So that tells you that half the planet openly, they're gathering en masse to complain against their government. They want to change the government, and they don't trust probably either one, either side or all the sides they have in their government. And as this approaches, you know, all the planet, it's a perfect time for somebody to come in and say, look, I have super technology. You know, my planet has, you know, survived for gazillions of years, and we know how to make peace, and we'll show you. And that's how the Satan's lie, the great deception that Jesus speaks of, is going to happen. I'm sure of it. And we're almost there.
Yeah, yes, and you could be right. So, you know, there's just another thing on your show images page while you're there is the rainwater study that you've shown by the Stockholm University. Do you want to tell the listeners about that? That's a bit of a depressing one.
Oh, it is. It is. The summary I have there says why scientists say that rainwater everywhere on Earth, they've even tried it at both poles, is unsafe to drink. And the Stockholm University scientists found that all rainwater on Earth is unsafe to drink. All rainwater. And that, of course, supplies our water supplies down into lakes and rivers and whatever else. They say it's due to PFAS levels. It's, you know, plastic and what do they call them? Per and polyfluoroalkyl substances. And they're hard to filter out. I mean, I don't think that any of our standard filters, you know, home filters will do that. And these things in the water are a host of possible serious health consequences. And they've associated it with PFAS, including cancer, infertility, pregnancy complications, immune system problems, and increased cholesterol, according to those same researchers at Stockholm. Now, that's bad stuff. And I'm sure if it's weakened your immune system, and we're talking about COVID time bombs in those serums and stuff, you can see how all that comes together. Now, the good news is, is that the they call these PFAS chemicals and a host of others the forever chemicals that stay in the water. They don't degrade or whatever. You have to actually physically take those molecules out. And there's a company that, let's see here, PFAS. Yeah, okay, there's a company here that's anion and granular activated carbon, and they form exchange resins that will take these things out. Now, I suspect that the Berkey water system you and I both use, those filters, the black filters, may do some of the carbon, granular activated carbon removal, and that might help, you know, get some of these. But anion exchange resins probably is what they're going to need to get those things out. So it doesn't hurt to filter it anyway. But to get this thing working on a massive system, like for your city or, you know, town, whatever, it has to be upscaled. And it's, they're having trouble figuring out how to upscale this process to remove, you know, these forever chemicals in our water. So darned if you, you know, if you have your own rainwater catching system, you're going to get it. So if you don't have a system at home, and, you know, it just, it's crazy. They've kind of got us by the short and curly on that one.
Yeah.
However, I guess.
But I guess you're right, at least, well, with the Berkey filters or some sort of home filtration system is probably better than doing nothing, even if it doesn't totally do this solution. Yeah,
I agree. But it was really kind of sad to see that that's not going to be made available in time to help most people. So when the good Lord comes, I'm sure he'll clean up the environment. And there won't be a problem.
Yes.
And I hope that comes soon. Well, you know, where you are, you've got other problems there in New Zealand, your North Island and Lake Taupo. I have several slides on that on my show images page, which is going to disappear here in a few days, but you can pull all that stuff down to share with your listeners. The slide 43, if I click on the picture of it, which you can do later, shows a picture of about 727 earthquakes that have occurred in Lake Taupo on the northeast side. Yeah, northeast side of it. And that is right close to where I had the dream vision back in 96 that showed that hotel there on the coast there. It's right where I saw that, where it's going to just first, the lake will crack and the water will fall down, some of it into the volcano or to the magma, and it will erupt in this hot steam explosion, blowing huge boulders out everywhere in the North Island. And to see all these earthquakes there at the bottom of Lake Taupo tells me we must be getting close to that time. And so that's why I put that graph in there and showed the quakes. I do that. I update it probably once a week now. And then the slides next to it at 44 and 45, those pictures there, they show you that right now, as we speak, that New Zealand has three active volcanoes that are in volcanic unrest. Two of them are just minor. The third one is White Island. It has moderate to heightened volcanic unrest. Now, the engineers there at GNS, there where you are in New Zealand, they told me that they call White Island the zipper. And the zipper, you know, like in your trousers, you pull it down. When it blows up, it's going to release like a long chain of volcanoes all the way down to Ruapehu. And so you watch White Island. When it gets really bad, that we think is what's going to cause Taupo to crack, drop the water down, make a steam explosion volcano, which is a very violent explosion. And so it's a good idea to go to the GNS volcanic alert summary periodically and just see how bad things are. When to pack your bags.
Pack your bags and go where, though? That's the problem. I mean, I kind of look at that whole thing and think, well, that's a really out of the control situation. And if a super volcano blows, there's really nothing you can do about it. You can't really run away from it. So, I mean, the same thing with your super volcanoes in America too, though. You know, you've got some massive one. Taupo is one of the biggest in the world, but it's still small compared to Yellowstone.
Yeah, well, Yellowstone, they've been monitoring that closely now for about 3 or 4 years, where they put in new seismometers all over the Yellowstone Park. And they made the truck drivers bringing all that equipment in and placing it sign non-disclosure agreements with the government so that they get a $10,000 fine or jail in prison if they talk about how they've set up all these things and run communications from them down to a channel down into Utah to our supercomputer center there to constantly monitor all this stuff. Now, you don't spend that kind of money if you're not afraid of something happening there.
Yes, yeah. And, I mean, I guess Yellowstone's only one. You've got several others too, haven't you?
Yeah, over on the West Coast, you know, in California, the southern part of it there, you've got plenty there. So, yeah, just in fact, you can go to USGS. What is it called here? I'll just tell you the name of it. On your internet, you can go to earthquakeusgs.gov and look at earthquakes that are happening worldwide. And they will then show you what's happening in California particularly. And that's with I'm just trying to think what the name of that park is there, but it's close to the southern part, just probably north of San Diego. And you'll see there that they're looking at old volcanoes that were very active a long time ago, obviously, but they are becoming active with the San Andreas Fault movement. And I've been watching the earthquakes down to that leg that of California, Baja California, that hangs down. And in that area there, if you have earthquakes there, especially in some of the Pines area, what's it called? It's a very thin part of the crust there at that junction of the Baja to Mexico. And if you have significant big earthquakes there, the San Andreas Fault runs right through there. I mean, it's, you know, you don't want to trigger that, but that's what we're watching. I've seen that over the last few days. And you can go to that site and you can put in you know, variables, say, show me the last 30 days of all magnitudes of the United States and the world. And I'm doing that now, just printing it up here. And it's showing one big earthquake down in that San Andreas type link. It was 6.1 in the Baja de Kino. And that's in the bay there, you know, between the long lake coming down from California down there to the Baja there. So anyway, all that's been very active, and certainly we don't want that, but that is happening. And so that's another area where volcanoes could be released, but certainly earthquakes, you know, tsunamis, all kinds of stuff can result from that. So go to that site and look at it periodically and see what's happening here. You'll see all over the planet things are happening. It's just, I'm amazed. I look at another area here south of Argentina. I'll just get the map here and tell you. I'm just trying to figure out the name of the islands here so I can tell you, but, anyway, on the tip of Argentina, if you look in your Google Earth type maps, you'll see, and the USGS maps too, they let you see that you'll see a fault line running out of there and over surrounding kind of a bulge, in the seafloor. And that's from an asteroid that hit. It's called the El Tanin asteroid. It hit, you know, when the Earth was forming, I guess. But it shoved a lot of the crust and made it thin, but it shoved it into a pile. And in that pile, you're seeing all these earthquakes occurring around the edge of where it stopped moving, where the asteroid either as a snowball, as a comet dropped and melted, or as a hard rock deposited itself in the bottom of that seafloor there. You can see a round image of it if you can look at it closely. And so I've seen other areas like that on the planet, and like in Indonesia, you know, they're just places all over the planet that are getting earthquakes around where these old asteroids hit. So I'm just going to say the Banda Sea is one in Indonesia to look at, because it was where one great asteroid came to rest after it broke India and Australia apart, and I don't know whether New Zealand was part of that movement or not, but it shoved Australia down to where it is now, and I think probably affected where New Zealand would end up in the formative you know, stages of our planet. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
I was going to say, so what about the sun? How have you, you? I know you monitor that. Has there been much activity in that front?
Yeah, there has. The last two or three days have been somewhat quiet, but it, this 25th solar cycle, the sun has become active a lot quicker than we thought it would, and that we're seeing thin areas of the surface of the sun that we see starting to thin, and you'll have solar wind coming out of them. They make holes, coronal holes, and also huge prominences going out several million miles from the surface of the sun, huge things. And if certainly if one of those is facing the Earth, when it puts a huge, large-scale CME out, we could see things like several hours of extreme heat, magnetic interference. And we're wondering, you know, those of us that are amateur scientists on this, if the surface of the sun is going to throw off a thin shell. Now, we saw this happen in the scientific community in the Monoceros cluster of stars, where one of the stars did that. And over a period of about 9 months, it blew off a thin shell off that, that sun, and that debris went out through the, their solar system. And we're wondering if we are facing that. It's not necessarily a red giant or anything like that, but it can have a change where it throws off the whole surface. And if that happens, that might be what we see in the Revelation spoken of, when the sun is going to get seven times brighter, and it's going to fry the oceans and the green trees and kill everything. And it's going to happen quickly, because it's going to only going to affect the part of the planet that's facing the sun. Otherwise, there wouldn't be anything to report in the rest of Revelation, would they? It'd all be gone. So that will be a quick event. And I'm wondering if that's what we're seeing developing here. And if that's the case, I'd say between now and probably the next 5 or 6 years that we're going to see that happen. And definitely before the millennial age starts and before the tribulation period ends. So. Yeah, the sun is definitely a thing to watch right now. I go to that to a place called well, probably the SDO, the Solar Dynamics Observatory that NASA has, and they give you up to the minute, well, up to every 15 minutes, pictures of the sun in various wavelengths to show you what's happening. And I go there and. It gives you the last 48 hours in a movie showing what was happening, blowing off of the sun. Excuse me. And that doesn't occur on like every minute or second or anything like that. So you're seeing 10 to 15 minute gaps, but it still gives you a time-lapse photography to show what's happening. And in the data links for what they call Angstrom 198, 193, which is part of the wavelengths they photograph it in, they tell you that you can click on a PFSS thing, and it shows you the magnetic field lines coming out all over the sun. And if you look at it today, it's impressive. And the solar poles, by the way, every solar cycle, every 11 and a half years or so, the north and south pole of the sun reverse. They don't just do it instantly. They do it over a period of time. And right now, they're in a state of flux. And so we've been watching the north pole, depending on what time of day you look at it, slipping like 30 degrees, 35 degrees that way, and the South Pole doing the same thing. And we're seeing these magnetic field lines I'm talking about from various active regions on the sun reaching across what should be the equator. And so that's squeezing one side of the sun and pulling tension on the other like this while the pole is changing. And when the surface of the sun is that thin, it's concerning. I just think we're going to see the action taking place. And I hope that the church, all believers, you know, are gone, you know, as part of the bride, taken to be with the Lord to safety, because we're to be delivered from that tribulation, I'm sure. We couldn't withstand it. And I think, between you and me, that the United States and South America are going to get hit with that brilliant burst of light, that heat that burns everything, because otherwise Europe and the Middle East would not exist to fulfill the rest of the prophecies that we see in, you know, in Africa. So, yeah, not a place to be. And I think America is probably the modern Babylon, and it's going to be destroyed very, very quickly.
So just before we sort of look to wrap up then, what about Russia and the whole threat of nuclear war? Do you think that's actually going to happen, or is it not a likely thing in the near future Well, yeah, Russia and China, or a Third World War situation.
Well, China and Russia definitely want to take out America because we could be a thorn in their side with proper leadership to defend Israel against Mohammed bin Salman, Saudi Arabia, and his consortium, or against against Iran, who want to destroy Israel. And they're working on a nuclear device to do that. Now, I don't think we'll see a full-fledged planetary nuclear war, but I do think we'll see one or two nuclear devices detonated. And I suspect that Israel will hit Damascus because that's where Iran has been storing its missiles and stuff to attack, you know, Israel through the Golan Heights area. So look for the destruction of Damascus, probably by a nuke. And it'll either be Israel doing it or the Iranian nuclear missile is detonated there by accident. But it says that Damascus will overnight become a ruinous heap. And that's kind of what I think is going to happen. So, yeah, we're going to see nuclear action and nuclear detonations, one or two of them. But I think that will force the world into wanting a consortium to bring peace. And that's what will form the world government, I think, because people really panic all over the planet. Nuclear bombs have been used, you know, and everybody thinks they're a target. And it'll certainly hurt the environment and make nuclear winners if you had a full-fledged one. So that will be probably the catalyst that makes all the other curves come together under one, you know, dictator that Satan will appoint to save the planet, ostensibly. Yeah.
Well, they're certainly using this climate agenda to be pushing for world government and all the religious leaders. I mean, even we've got the COP27 meeting going on at the moment, and the uniting of religions is a very big part of their agenda, which is very interesting. I guess all in all, these things are looking very much like the dovetailing of fulfilling of prophecy, aren't they, from the Bible? Or, you know, you just, as you mentioned earlier, you take all of the things and put them together. It's like absolutely unprecedented in history, really, what's happening now.
Yeah, I saw that thing where the Pope and evangelicals, excuse me, are now part of the world religion, you know, and that's the official world religion. They already say that in the press. And you just have to be amazed when you see all the prophecy stuff happening right now, yes, together, as you said.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, as we look to wrap up then, what, you know, as believers, I guess we have different views on when the rapture might happen or whatever. I mean, not that I have an absolutely firm one, but I'm kind of more leaning towards what they call a pre-wrath theory. So, and you're probably more on the pre-trib side, I think, aren't you? But looking for the rapture, which if it happens, whenever it's going to happen, it's going to happen. What else can, you know, we as believers, what should we be doing at this point?
At this point, I suppose you should not be worrying about whether you're going to get nuked or, you know, starve to death or whatever. You should be looking to do what the Lord calls you to do as far as witnessing to people around you. It's important for souls to be saved, not bodies, lives, but souls.
Yeah.
And so even if you're a call to witness to one person and it might take time out of your day or your TV watching or whatever, you should do it and make an effort when people are frightened and saying, oh, what do we do? All this stuff is happening. Then you give the gospel to them and explain everything else that they want to know and be a very good witness that way. And to me, I think like what you and I are doing, we're trying to share information out there about how serious the situation is. Yeah. And some people listening to it may not be believers, but maybe this will help them to make that confession and join, you know, with the Lord. That's the important thing. It's not this life, but what comes after.
Totally agree. No, I mean, it's good to prepare, obviously, physically as best as we can. And I know, I mean, you guys do that. In fact, your wife, Holly's written a book on preparing, Dare to Prepare. So, I guess we do that. But the spiritual aspect is far more important because you can't prepare for every contingency, really. And that's what's becoming more and more obvious. We didn't really see exactly how this was going to play out. And it's like, you know, you get curveballs thrown in all directions.
Well, you know, when they take away, like the plan is to take away paper and gold and silver, you know, diamonds, money and stuff like that, and have a digital bank account for you. And doing this, they're going to take what money you've got in the bank and convert it to new digital money, you know, for the new world system. And so as Christians, if you say own a house and say you got it paid off, you still have to pay taxes on it once a year. You still got to pay a water bill, electric bill. Well, most people do. And if you can't do it, if you don't have that digital ID number for your cashless society, you're going to have to be evicted or something from your house even. So it might be worth people's notice to think if we're still here when that happens, if you got a backpack or a trailer or things, where's the nearest kind of forest land that you can go to and survive? I mean, these are crazy ideas, but these are ideas we kick around here trying to think about how do you prepare for losing all your money and all your gold and silver has no value. You see what I'm saying?
I think gold and silver will always have value. It's just you won't be able to legally trade it.
Right. You got to be careful who you trade it with, because if your neighbor who's not a believer wants to trade with you, he'll say, hey, look, to the government, they've got a stash over there. Give me 10% of it, and I'll tell you who they are.
Yeah. Well, this is it. Yeah, I think in desperate times, it's like who can you trust? But, I guess ultimately we just have to trust God, really. That's all we can do.
Definitely. And don't be afraid. Do not be subject to the spirit of fear.
Yes. Totally. If fear accomplishes nothing, really, anyway. You don't really increase your life by it, and you don't really fix things. So you might as well just, trust God and exist as best you can and do what you can. And it is a kind of a good challenge to do things, anyway, preparing what you can as best you can, even if it all does get swept away at some point. Yep. At least you're being proactive and trusting God and saying, what should I do, and getting individual guidance. And I think that's important, if we believe that God will give us as individuals the guidance, because what you do or what I do will probably not be exactly the same, or this person over here or that person over there. God might show different people different things to do to prepare for what's ahead. So we've got to be listening for his voice on that one, I think.
I think it's really, as you say, an individual thing. Get right with the Lord, stay in contact, pray daily, at least once, and then relax and let God do what He does.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I hope it's soon that we get through this period of time and we can be into the millennial age of rebuilding this place.
Yes. Yeah, I know what you're saying. It can be a little bit wearisome going through all this, and our spirits long to be with the Lord, I guess, and we don't like what we're seeing in this world and the way it's going and the way man is. But anyway. Okay, Stan, that was a really interesting discussion. We did cover quite a few different things, but they all sort of fitted together, I believe. So thanks a lot for being on with me again today.
Thank you for having me, Tony, and I hope things get a little warmer for you eventually. I know the cold season here is hit. I don't know about you, but,
it's
going to be freezing.
Yeah, we've definitely had a mixture. Well, I think we're due to get some pretty hot days in a couple of days' time. We had some good ones last week. But
that's right. You're in the southern hemisphere, so you're not going to be the same as we are. It's,
it did stretch a long time. I mean, our cold weather seemed to go on and on. Like a lot of the growing is like being 6 weeks behind, really. I've heard from garden center people that, everything's 6 weeks behind because we had a cold, wet spring. So, you guys are heading into it. It'll be interesting to see what sort of winter you actually get.
Yeah, we had our spring, we had lagging cold weather and stuff. And then our crops didn't germinate properly, and we're stunted in some cases. And so the weather is definitely changing. And I often wonder, if we're going to see a shift of the surface of the earth, not just a magnetic pole shift, which is happening, but a tilt shift. I don't know, because it seems like things aren't right with the sun, the light coming from its higher frequency, and the bees aren't responding properly to pollinating our plants and trees. It's just weird.
Yeah, well, that's right. All those things kind of out of our control, but
okay.
Jesus did warn us that there'd be these type of signs in the end anyway. So, thanks, Stan, and we'll have to do another show again soon.
All right. Bye-bye, Tony.
Cheers. Thank you.
Lord bless you.
And folks, you can find Stan Deo at standeo.com. And also don't forget to visit aminutetomidnight.com and subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com, where you'll receive notification of all of our shows, which we put all of them on our website, as well as YouTube, Rumble, BitChute, and Apple Podcasts. In A Minute to Midnight's run 100% by donations. I want to say a big thank you to the people that do help us by donating. And if you want to donate, you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com as well. It's always much appreciated. And the music used, I've written, played, and recorded. So that's it for this episode. God bless, and hopefully we'll be back, God willing, with another show in a few days' time.